Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you.
I'm back from the Philippines. And I'm actually functional. We got back Friday morning after almost 40 hours of travel. We left the hotel in Chiang Mai, Thailand, and we flew to Bangkok, to Manila, to Guam, to Hawaii, to LA. And and then I slept most of the next 24 hours because I needed it. And yesterday I did not feel great because I just had a headache, you know, jet lag. But today I feel good. So God is good. And it is true, I will be gone next week, but that's because it's Father's Day. I'm going to go spend Father's Day with my dad and his family. So the mission trip was not a vacation, believe me. But this will be a vacation. So I'm looking forward to spending time with my dad, with his older brother that we've been praying for forever. And I'm going to Minnesota. So you can pray for me as I go. But as you might know, up to 30 of us have gone to the Philippines for a mission trip. And little by little, we're trickling back over the next week or so because some of the people went to visit their families and they did other things. And so what I thought would be the best thing to do is, as we come back little by little, to share what God did instead of waiting and trying to do all 30 in one Sunday. So if Andrea can come up, Sister Lolette, if you can come up, Priscilla, if someone could just, maybe Sophia, take Priscilla's place real quick so Priscilla can come up out of the sound booth. We want to share a highlight, a testimony from what God did in the Philippines trip. And so come on up, Andrea, come on, come on. Sister Lolita, come on. Priscilla. I see the angels are back, but they're not here this morning, but I'm sure they'll be back as well. And so come on up. Come on up. Don't be shy. Aren't you glad Andrea's back home now? Yes. All right. I'm going to let you start on.
It was an amazing time. It was so much fun. I think what was most impactful was that when you go to a mission field, I think you're always thinking, we're winning the loss. It's like a harvest of souls. But when we got to the Philippines, it was such a, like, we met like comrades in arms. Like, they were like so on fire for God, so wanting there to see the Philippines just on fire. And it was amazing to kind of just come across the ocean and meet some people who were doing the things of God. And so it was really awesome. And just seeing how many lives were touched. And it was really fun to watch our youth minister in the Philippines was fun, and to see them interact with kids. I think the most impactful day was when we went to the ranch and just hearing just the worship that went forth that was so pure, so honest, from a group of girls who have a background that we would never want to imagine, and just watching God move through them and do a work and a restoration through them was beautiful, and I really had a great time. It was great. That way.
Priscilla. Lolita, you're next. Come on, come on.
I'm next.
Don't be shy.
Our mission trip in the Philippines was a success. Holy ground in Davao. The church is huge. They got a lot of services every Sunday. And the church is very generous. They fed us every day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. In Cebu, I was touched by the children. That's children's holy, Happy Horizons Children's Ranch. So they said that they were blessed because we brought rain. They haven't been, in the Philippines, it hasn't been rained for a while. So when we were there, it rained, especially in Cebu, the rain poured a lot. Also in Cebu, I think in Tagaytay, and in Maragondon, it's so hot. I think I got sick. okay, that's all. They were blessed. And we were
that part of the country is really pursuing God radically. And it's just like, we are on the right path here. I see how God is stirring up the hearts here just as well as across the country doing the same thing. So we know that when it's God's word, it's going to be the same somewhere else, no matter what. And so it was cool to kind of see that same thing, you know what I mean, where they're doing what they're pursuing, God's saying the same word, but according to our country and where we're at. And then, you know, the most thing that I went to, even though I love the Philippines, I have a home out there, and our Agape home, it was good to be home again because it's been over 5 years since we've been out to the Philippines, and to go back home, it was just a refreshment of seeing what God is doing. But definitely the ranch, the children's home is where my heart was. And, you know, as you guys know, that we support them for these kids that are trafficked. And many years ago, I was asking the hard questions of what's the youngest that you have taken in? And it was 2 years old. And my heart broke. You know what I mean? At that time, hearing that they rescued a two-year-old. And we don't have to think of the circumstances, but if you have to rescue a two-year-old, you know it's bad. But to see, to see the pure worship, to see their hearts transformed, that despite what they came out of, to the pureness of what God has done, the transformation. You know, I'm sure it was a process to get them what they were. Don asked me if I had the audio here. We walked in, and I had to hold some of the girls because, you know, I've been there before, and I know how much your heart breaks when you walk into it. But there was this, we walked into their worship practice, and it was just, it hit everybody like a wall in your face. So I'm just going to play it and know that these are the kids. There's no super audio. There's no effects on this. This is the rawness of their worship. I'm shaking. Oh, hold on. Oh, I'm recording. Oh my gosh, I can't even do this. All I could say is listen to the words that they're singing. How good you are to me. You know, coming out of that background where you would say, what? But no, they knew God's goodness. They knew, and they knew it now. Just that was just not a song. That was true worship from the in-depths of their soul. So, yeah.
Ah, good morning. Wow, to go. Man, I'm already wrecked. It's been a morning. My hormones are everywhere. I wanted to be here, and turns out we had a flat spare tire. And we got to the Hacienda High exit, and I saw the text with the thread, and I was like, oh, we're supposed to give the testimony, and I'm all undone. And I'm like, okay, let's come in back. Oh, this trip. Life-changing trip for us as a family, for me as a mom, as a woman, as a wife, in the dynamic that we did. I went through probably the hardest part of pregnancy during the trip. I only threw up once, praise the Lord. Woo. First I felt like when I birthed Josiah, I had this honor that came over me, and it was like, whoa, like he's mine. and now that he's here, I mean, you all have been touched by him. And of course, when we said yes to the calling, we just said we have to do our ministry, which is washing feet. And so one testament that I really just have to applaud the Holy Spirit for moving the way that he did was, and I already knew going that May 28th was going to be a very significant day. I just knew this was the date that you guys said. It was already planned, but it's like we were walking in this miraculous favor before we even said yes, literally. So to fast forward, Josiah had fell asleep. So we got there, we're really moved, we're loving everything. Josiah fell asleep, but Josiah had already like had his guias, you know, he's like, yeah, brother. Like he was just loving it. The kids were like, oh, he's so cute. I always have been saying Josiah has a Josiah effect. I say it jokingly, but I've realized that there's power in that word. So he fell asleep and I was like, Lord, I'm praying with him. Pastor Jaron was watching him in the room while I was going back and forth. And I said, Lord, Josiah's here for a reason and we're being obedient. We washed all the staff, ladies' feet, and they were really moved. We got some amazing testimonies from them. Just a simple act of washing feet. Cleansing feet really is just a second form of like baptism and washing and cleansing and making someone new. And of course, they are already servant hearts serving the girls and the boys. And of course, they're wearing shirts that say, I am loved. Wow. So Josiah falls asleep, and I'm like, wow, but I know that this, you know, he's supposed to be here, and I know he's supposed to move. Now, catch this. I'm in the room, he's sleeping, and I'm waiting, and I'm looking at him. I'm like, he probably has like 30 more minutes in him. And I'm patient. I found like a book in their library. I'm just reading just cute little Bible stories. And then I say, Lord, I just give up my son. I know he has an effect. We're about to go downstairs to invite the kids to have their feet washed. And I know it's uncomfortable even for adults. So to have kids say yes, and already with what they've gone through, I said, oh, I don't know. Like, I have to see you show up. So we come downstairs. Andrea's like, oh, there's like some hesitancy. I'm like, oh, okay. But Josiah wakes up. And I was so excited. We run downstairs. I'm like, hi, everyone. And then this little one smiles. I mean, he's in my hands. And do you see the divine favor? He knows. Come to mama and share this testimony. Right, puppy? So he comes down, he starts to like lay hands and like just, you know, interact with the kids, and the kids are the Lord is starting to open up their hearts and say, well, you know, we're gonna play Josiah's favorite song called Thank You by Victor Thompson. We're having some audio discrepancies, and then they began one by one starting to come on stage to get their feet washed, and like chains were broken in an instant. I was like, what? Okay, Lord, you are one God. And I was just so moved that, I mean, everyone, babies just have the effect, but I just got to see this, the power of him and the way that he just moves atmospheres. On top of all of that, I felt like with all of the young boys on the trip, how they just cared for him. Literally, I can show him a video on my iPhone, and he just starts to, he has this little thing. It's like a guy thing. They have already had, he sees Jacob, he sees James, or even Joshua. Funny, they're all J's, and they're all in the Bible. Of course, Lord. And he immediately does his, hey, 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 hey. Do you see one of them? No, not here right now. He just got exposed to a microphone yesterday, so this trip has allowed us as parents to see that he loves drums.
Yeah.
We have our newest drummer.
Yeah.
And he loves the guitar.
Yeah,
and he loves the microphone.
He did. Yeah, you played with me, huh?
So prepare yourself. We have our own Josiah, not Josiah Queen, but Josiah Angel. That's going to be, that's going to. So this trip, being a worship expo and that being our ministry, it was not only a win for the kingdom and Give Soap, but a win for Heights Worship Center, the seeds we planted. We are going to be back, hopefully next year, God willing, to go back to Happy Horizon to give Hope Socks. So we're excited for that testimony and God making that way. Yes.
Yes.
See? But I mean, I think that's what I felt led to share right now, but I'm really moved.
All right. You want to say something? Say hi. No. All right. Thank you guys so much. If you're not familiar with Happy Horizons Children's Ranch, it's a ministry we've been supporting for, I think, about 12 years at this point. And they rescue kids from sex trafficking. And these kids are sent there because it is the last option. There's no safe place for them. So the Filipino government sends them to this ranch, and they get counseling and therapy and treatment and education, and they know that God loves them. And it was really something when we walked in and they're leading worship, and they're good. I mean, they're like dynamic worship team, and these little kids leading worship. And when they were just singing, "You have been so good to me," and you're just listening to that after everything they've been through. They've been trafficked sexually, they've been exploited, they've been abused, and yet they're singing, "How you love me, what a friend you have been." You just look down the line, all of us, men and women alike, we're just crying because we were touched by the purity of their worship and their devotion unto Jesus. If they can worship Jesus like that, then you know, we don't have much of an excuse, do we? Mom Rose said when she prayed, when the church prayed to send us off, that we would see signs and wonders and breakthroughs. Well, specifically, we spent one day at the ranch only, and that day we saw a couple of breakthroughs. First of all, after chapel, they took us on a tour to show us everything, and they were just sharing with us the provision of God and the typhoon that came through and how God sustained them and allowed them to be used for the community. And it was hot. I mean, hot. We were all just sweating and trying to find the little bit of shade we could have because they lost a number of trees in the typhoon. And then, you know, so I just start singing, "Let it rain, let it rain." I was like, "Please, God, open the floor." It's just so hot, you know. And then I see Pastor, and he's got a little bottle of water, and he's like doing this little tree, and he's like, "Shanda," you know, Pastor, he's praying in tongues, and he's watering the little plant, and everybody's like, "Yeah, we need rain." And the director, John, was telling us, "We really need rain. Like, our reservoir is tapped out, and water is very limited. We really need rain." And so we were all kind of just individually on our own, just asking God for rain, but not in a serious way, which is funny. You know, you can say something in not a serious way, and the Lord can answer in a serious way. So we had lunch, and we came down to do cement work. So our church sponsored, we paid the finances, and we were going to start the cement work under the hot sun. And nobody's going to lie. None of us were feeling like we wanted to do it. I was kind of excited, but it was under the sun. It was hot. It was humid. And I'm like, "Just a little rain, just to help us out, God. We need a little rain." And then all of a sudden, it just starts downpouring. And it is just raining so hard. And everybody's like, "Whoa." And the director comes over. He goes, "Well, this is common in Cebu. It'll rain for maybe 5-10 minutes. And then it'll stop. And then it dries up and we can do cement work." And I was like, "Okay, cool. We'll just hang out." So it's raining. And it's coming off. We're in this ramada outside. And it's coming off really hard. You see Pastor. He goes over and just sticks his head in the downfall. And the boys looked at it. And they looked a little nervous. So I went over and I stuck my head in the downfall. And then all the boys did. So we're just playing in the rain. We're just laughing, having a good time. It rains for over an hour. And the director says, "This is supernatural. Because it only rains for 10 minutes tops. This is unusual." And the whole time it was raining, we just kept saying, "More, God, more." I think, you know, I'm not going to tell on my brothers, but I think some of them were like, "More so we don't have to work in the sun." I'm just saying, you know, maybe Andrea's like, "I'll own it," you know. And so we were just playing in the rain, singing in the rain, having a great time. It rains for over an hour, and just supernatural. And then when the kids got out of school, we got to do our kids program. And I think one of the amazing things about this trip is we had so many of our kids on the trip. And because we had our kids on the trip, it was like the kids were so excited to see kids. And so there was just such a joyful atmosphere as we ministered to the kids, played games with the kids, Our youth and kids did an amazing job. I was so proud of them. And then, so while that's happening, all of a sudden, you can see there's movement in the staff, and then John comes over. He's like, we just got a surprise visit from the government for accreditation, so I've got to go. And I was like, okay. So he leaves and everything. So long story short, they're driving us home that night, and he tells us how that after the foot washing, his main staff leader was like so touched and so blessed by the foot washing and how it ministered to her heart. And she said, I was feeling so good. And then I get an email from the Philippine government saying they were coming to do a surprise check for our accreditation process. They had applied for accreditation because now the Philippines want you to go through grade 12, and they've changed their high school. And so this branch is in the process of trying to get their accreditation in order. And so she was like, I went from happy and blessed to stressed. And then as they were doing it, the guy, John said, he nitpicked a few things. And he said, you know, do you think we'll get our accreditation? Can we get all 3 years approved at once? And the guy said, no, we only do 1 year at a time. There's no way. You need to fix these things. And they were walking him off the campus, you know, just kind of disappointed, like the accreditation wasn't going to happen. As he comes down, we're singing the song from Good News Club. We're singing about Jesus. Jesus is the good news. We're singing it just a cappella with the kids and doing. He stops and he listens at the name of Jesus, and he just listens. And then he looks at him. He said his demeanor completely changed. And he said, send me the pictures of those three things I want changed, and I will approve your entire accreditation. And they said, the whole 3 years? He said, yes. Supernatural breakthrough, Mom. Supernatural breakthrough. We got to be a part of something so incredible. Reign and accreditation, 3 years. You just cannot ever underestimate the power of God and what He can do. Just one day, not to mention all the other opportunities. We had churches drive 6, 8, 10 hours to attend the conference, and the power of God and the Holy Spirit was just really ministering in a powerful way, and the grace of God sustained us because it was crazy. The schedule was hectic, but God sustained us, and there are open doors for more opportunity. But one of the things that the four of us, Andrea, Sister Lolette, Priscilla, and I, we were the four that traveled together. So we went to Thailand after the ministry of the Philippines was over, because Priscilla and I have good ministry friends from our days in Jesus Revolution. And they are Filipino, and they live in the Philippines, and God called them to be missionaries in Thailand. And I had talked with them over Zoom when the Lord called them, and we had had conversation. They told me about what they felt the Lord was doing, and they moved their family out. They have three kids, and they moved out to Thailand to be missionaries. And so when we were planning the trip, Andrea's like, well, since we're in Asia, don't you think we should go somewhere else too? You know, we're all the way over there. Let's do a little something. And so we checked out Japan. It was so expensive. We looked at Singapore, Hong Kong. We looked at options, and everything was so expensive. And I was prayer walking in the morning, and I was like, Lord, Andrea really wants to do something extra, and everything's so expensive. Lord, what are we going to do? And all of a sudden, the Lord just reminded me, the Max. That's their name is Macadang Dang, but we just call him the Max. And he said, the Max in Thailand. And I was like, oh. So I called Priscilla when I got home. I said, Priscilla, the Max. And she's like, yes. So we were able to go to Thailand for affordable. And we went to Thailand, and we got to see what God was doing in Thailand. And that's actually where my message is going to come from this morning, reaching the nations. As we were listening to John share with us his heart, Thailand has less than 0.07% Christians. 0.07% Christians in the entire nation of Thailand. It is one of the darkest, most oppressed areas I've ever walked into. As soon as you arrive, you feel it. As soon as you arrive, you're just aware of a heaviness and an oppression and a darkness. And he was talking about how Thailand is one of the top destinations for tourism in all of the world. He goes, but it's really a facade, because when you're here, you see just how lost the people are, how empty they are, how dark this place really is. And we experienced it. They took us to one of the top temples in Chiang Mai. So we were in northern Thailand. And on the tops of the hills are these huge Buddhist temples. So the nation is Buddhist. And he was saying that for them, Buddhism is not just a religion, but it is deeply ingrained in their culture. And so it's very difficult for the gospel of Jesus Christ to penetrate Thailand. And so he goes, but God is opening a door. He goes, the young people of Thailand are actually willing to try something new. The young people of Thailand are actually looking. They're interested in something outside of their culture, outside of what they grew up in. And so him and the ministry that God's given them, they opened up a student center right across the street from Chiang Mai University, the second top university in Thailand. And you go across the street, and they've got a coffee shop with a slide, and Ate Lolita went down the slide. She's awesome, man. And then, so they have a coffee shop with free Wi-Fi right across from the university campus. As you go up, they've got a free game center. They had ping pong, they had darts, they had everything up there, video gaming. And then at the top floor, they have offices on the second floor, and on the top floor, they have a house of prayer. And they started that the day after we left. In fact, John and Rena were like, we're so bummed you're leaving Thursday morning, because Thursday night we are inaugurating the house of prayer. But we took time on Wednesday. I just grabbed the guitar, and we just overlooked Thailand, and we just spent a significant time in worship and intercession over the whole community. And as we were in Thailand, and it was just palpable, the darkness, the emptiness, the need for the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're not familiar with Buddhism, it's about the pursuit of light and enlightenment. And yet the light of the world, Jesus Christ, they don't know. And we went to the Buddhist temple at the top of the mountains, and Priscilla and I did the 100 steps. And as soon as I walked through the gate of the temple, it was just like, just this weight of heaviness and oppression and darkness. And I just took a deep breath, and I said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And then I stuck out my spiritual chest, and I walked up those steps. I was just going to bring Jesus right up into that temple, you know? I was not intimidated, but you were very aware of the spiritual atmosphere. And I looked to the left and the right, and they're selling their idols, and they're selling their wares, and they're selling their prayer things. And you get up, and everything is marble and gold-plated. And I just looked around, and I looked out over the city and this gorgeous view of the whole area of Chiang Mai, and I was just praying. I said, Lord, bring salvation to Chiang Mai. Bring salvation to Chiang Mai. And we were walking the temple, and I just looked at Andrea, and I was like, it is a facade. It's about money, and it's about power, and it's empty. It's lifeless. And I was debating whether or not to talk about Thailand today, and I kind of landed on not talking about Thailand. And as I was asking the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to preach on today? That old song came into my head, my spirit. In him we live and move and have our being. If you're old, you know that song, like me. In him we live and move and have our being. So I was singing that song, and I looked it up in Scripture in Acts chapter 17, and it's the story of Paul looking at the idols in Athens. And I was like, okay, Lord, we're going to talk a little bit about Thailand. Because what you have to understand about Heights Worship Center, we are gifted and given the grace of God to be a different church. I love how you said that, Mom Rose, 2 weeks ago. She's like, by God's grace, we are a different church. Look around. By God's grace, we are a different church. We are from every tongue, tribe, and nation in this place. And even Pastor and I had conversations with other pastors in Bataan, and they were curious about the transition of leadership and how that went. And I told them, I said, yeah, I'm a white American, but our church is not American, and our church is not Filipino. Our church is a kingdom church. And by God's grace, we are a different church. Amen? And so I just loved how you said that. By God's grace, we are a different church. And part of what makes us different is the ministry of worship that God's called us to. We have something to impact. I had a number of churches come to me and said, my eyes are open. I never understood worship ministry like this before. But not only that, but our mission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The Great Commission is our mission. The Great Commission is the mission of Heights Worship Center. We are a missional church. We are a missional church. We believe that all the world needs to know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible is very clear that it is only when all the world knows about Jesus, then Jesus will return. And you and I have a duty to expedite the return of Jesus Christ through getting the gospel to the places that need to hear the gospel, like Thailand. Thailand is one of the top three unreached nations in the world, one of the top three tourist destinations, and yet also one of the most unreached nations. Now try to wrap your mind around that. So here I'm telling you, we're going to Thailand as a church in the future. So I want you to already start thinking about it, praying about it. But I've talked to them, and we're going to do some mission work in Thailand in the future. Because it's great that we go to the Philippines, and we do a lot of work with the church like Paul did on his missionary journeys. And we go to Peru, and we do some with the church, and we do unreached people groups in the jungle. Well, we're going to go to Thailand and do completely unreached people in Thailand. So no matter what God does with our church, we will always be a missional church, because Jesus said, go into all the world. Everybody say all. All the world, and preach the gospel to every nation, teaching them about Jesus, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that is the mission of this church. And that's why we not only do foreign missions, but we have local missions. That's why a five-day club is happening in the park. We could have chosen to do five-day club here at the church, but we didn't want to do it at the church. We wanted to go out into the park to be intentional, to bring the gospel to kids who may not otherwise have a chance to hear the gospel. It's why we support CEF and Good News Club, and so many of us go into this school every week during the school year to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ back into our schools. So we have missions here, and we have missions abroad, and we are a missional church that will always be something that we are focused and intentional about. And so we are going to go. Tell your neighbor, go. If you never go on a mission trip out of the country, you have opportunity to go on a mission trip right here in our community. Some of you may not want to travel 40 hours like we did. You may not want to travel a long time and do that, but there are opportunities right here in your family, in your workplace, in your classroom, in your circle of influence to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here's Acts chapter 17, verse 16 and following. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. Me too. When I was in Thailand, can we put that up, verse 16? When I was in Thailand, I was deeply troubled by all the idols I saw everywhere in the city. And I realized today that I think part of the reason why God called us to Thailand is because we have our own little Thailand just up the hill. We have the first Buddhist temple in the United States of America right here in our own community. And we have done prayer surges on a hill where we looked across them, and we've even gone into the temple to pray. We have taken a commitment as a church to pray for the salvation of our community. We've gone into the Buddhist temple here. We've held prayer strikes with other ministries, and we're believing for God to transform this community. But it has to bother you that people are in darkness. In order to have a missional heart, you need to be troubled when you see people who live in darkness. It needs to bother you that they're lost when you have what they need. I think sometimes we just get so complacent. We just get comfortable. We become almost, I want to use the word ignorant, almost like blinded, right? By what other people are going through. I don't know if you go into your workplace and you realize, hey, maybe she's difficult because she's hurting, because she needs Jesus, and I have the answer. So maybe my response to her difficult personality is to love and be kind and have a friendship so that I can bring her to understand the answer is Jesus. See, we need to understand that there is an aspect where you and I need to be deeply troubled by what we see around us, not to start a fight, not to use unkind words, but something in our spirit that moves us to action. And that's what you see happen to Paul. So he sees the idols. He's deeply troubled. He doesn't just sit there and go, man, these people, they're lost. what's for dinner? He was moved to action. Look what it says, verse 17. So he went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and he spoke daily in the public square to all who happened to be there. He's troubled by the darkness. He's troubled by how lost the people are, and so he's moved to action, and he does something about it. As a missional church, it is not enough to know we have a mission. We have to go on the mission. I'm going to say it again. It's not enough to know the mission. You got to go. You got to go on the mission at work every day. You're not at work just to earn a paycheck. You're at work to make a difference. Hello? You go to work not to earn a living. That's a side benefit. You go to work because you're on a mission to be the light of Jesus Christ to a world that is lost. Verse 18, he also had a debate with some of the Epicureans and Stoic philosophers. When he told them about Jesus and his resurrection, they said, "What's this babbler trying to say with these strange ideas he picked up?" Even Paul got that kind of reaction. What you trying to talk about? It makes no sense, that Jesus stuff. Blech. Paul dealt with the same reactions that you and I will encounter when we try to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some people will mock you, some people will listen to you, and some people will just flat out reject you. What's that babbler trying to say with these strange ideas he's picked up? Others said, well, he seems to be preaching about some kind of foreign god. Verse 19, then they took him to the high council of the city. Come and tell us about this new teaching, they said. You are saying some rather strange things, and we want to know what it's all about. I think that that is how a lot of people feel. They may not understand Jesus, but they're definitely interested to know about Jesus. We had this unique experience in the Philippines. So when we landed, so we went Chiang Mai, Bangkok, Manila. So when we landed in Manila, we tried to go through customs, and they found out we had a connecting flight. So they said, nope, you need to go through transit. And we're like, okay, so we go to transit. And they're like, why are you here? Because customs said we have to go through transit. Long story short, we got stuck in a holding room. And they said, you just have to wait. And we wait, we have a connecting, how long are we gotta wait? We have a connecting. And so long story short, the Philippines has a new law. If you come in like within a certain time frame of your connecting flight, they don't let you get your bag and check yourself in. You have to let the airline you flew in on do all the work for you while you just sit in this little room and wait and wait and wait. And so we had an opportunity to work the fruit of the Holy Spirit and have a good attitude. We had the privilege to check our attitude at right there at the desk and choose to be kind and friendly. And we had no answers. This person comes up and says, I need all your passports. We got to facilitate the process. We give him our passports, and then he leaves, and we don't see him for an hour. And we're like, this is not comfortable. Our passports are gone. We're in this little room in this airport. We feel like Tom Hanks in Terminal. Are we going to live here? Like, what's going on? You know? And so, but we're choosing to have a good attitude. I go out to the desk, and I'm talking to them, and I'm like, I just feel a little uncomfortable because the guy's been gone for an hour, and he has all our passports, and we have a flight. We don't want to live here. Like, we want to go home, you know? And he was really kind, and so they found out the information, and they did the process. And so we stood in that room for like 3 hours. They wouldn't take us to the gate until it was boarding time. We just had to stay in this little room. So we were in this little room for like hours, choosing to have a good attitude. We're thanking God. So, Christine, we were on your message. We were thanking God and praising God. We were praise in the valley, praise in the room, praise when our passports are gone and we don't know what to do. We're just like, come on, we're going to praise the Lord no matter what. Like, we're going to keep a good attitude about this, you know? And so, all of a sudden, this guy is also in the room, an African man. He was in the room, and he starts up a conversation with us. He goes, where are you guys from? We said, Los Angeles. Oh, you're American. Yeah. And he's like, I'm so excited. You're the first Americans I've ever got to talk to. So, you know, Priscilla and I, we just start chatting him up, and he's from Madagascar, which we think is totally cool. And so, you know, we're talking about what he does for a thing, and he starts the conversation about religion. He says, I'm really interested in your culture, and I'm really interested in what you believe in America. And I was like, well, this isn't interesting. So, okay, Holy Spirit, where are you going with this? So long story short, I found out he's got a lot of mixture of different beliefs. He studied Confucius, he studied Buddhism, he studied African religion, he studied some Christianity. So he's kind of got like a little mix. But in a very short opportunity, I got to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to this man. His name is Zhao. And I could tell that he was so curious. He wanted to know. He's like, I want to understand more about this Jesus. And I said, well, he's the Christ. And I was telling him, he goes, well, I believe there are many Christ. And I said, okay, but he is the Christ. You know, just an opportunity just to talk to him, to share with him. He did not get saved, but we planted seeds. And we had an opportunity. If I would have had a bad attitude, that opportunity would have not have happened. If I would have been unchristlike, he would not have wanted to know anything about us. But he sensed we were friendly people. And he wanted to talk to us. And he gave me his email. I've got his email. We've already been talking. He's going to send me vanilla from Madagascar. Anyways. And I said, Lord, maybe we were put in this inconvenient place for Zhao. For Zhao. See, people will say, I don't really get Jesus and Christianity, but I am curious. I want to know what it's all about. And you and I have to be ready to share the gospel of Jesus in a short, concise, simple way. I was doing Good News Club. Sin is anything. You know, like I was just like drawn on just the basics to explain to him why about Jesus Christ as our Savior. So even here, Paul was talking about the good news of Jesus Christ, and people are like, this is strange, but we're curious. People will want to hear about your faith in Christ, especially when they see you live it. But you got to live your faith in Christ. You got to take advantage of opportunities that the Holy Spirit gives to you. So then he goes on in, I probably should put on my glasses. Here we go. What verse are we in? Thank you. Verse 21. All right, it should be explained that all the Athenians, as well as the foreigners in Athens, seem to spend all their time discussing the latest ideas. That's kind of how America is. We're talking about all the latest ideas, all the things that are popular, but not biblical. 22, so Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I want to tell you about. Now notice, Paul did not condemn them for their idolatry. Paul didn't come at them and say, you shouldn't be doing that. Shame on you. That's wrong. You're evil. Let's learn from Paul. He found something good and positive, and he drew on that to bring them into conversation. When you and I have the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ, don't be combative, because it's not effective. Find some common ground. Find something that you can call out the good in, to draw them into conversation. Paul gives us a very practical way of coming into a place full of darkness. He doesn't condemn them. He doesn't condone them, but he draws something out. He says, I can see that you're religious. I can see that you love to worship. Let me tell you about the God you don't know. See, that's something that you and I can practically do. When we have opportunity to share the gospel, don't point out the wrong. That's not your job. Tell your neighbor, that's not your job. Your job is to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will deal with what's wrong in his time. The Holy Spirit will convict where there needs to be conviction. It is not your job. You are not the judge. You are to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Verse 24, Paul goes on and says, he is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands cannot serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. There is something very important here to understand, that the concept of nations is God's. I know we live in a society where people want to get rid of nations and they want to dissolve nations, but the idea of nations started with God. It originated with God. God created the Philippines, and God created Mexico, and God created America, and God created Thailand. The concept of nations is a God concept. God loves the nations. He's not looking for you and I to become robots or to forget our ethnicity or where we came from, but in our ethnicity, we strive to become like Christ. So a kingdom church is not Filipino or American or black or white or Hispanic, but a kingdom church is about me being who God created me to be, becoming like Christ. The beauty of your ethnicity, the beauty of your culture, the beauty of what God has given you as a people group and coming into the kingdom alignment of what Jesus wants us to be. Does that make sense? That means that in this church, you are free to be whatever ethnicity God created you to be. I don't want you to be white if you're not white. I mean, come on, sometimes we think unity is conformity, but that's not unity. Unity is beauty and diversity with one purpose, one heart, one Lord. So unity is not uniformity. I don't want you to act like me, think like me, talk like me, because that's boring. You just need one me. You can't handle more than me, and I can't handle more than me either. But you need to be you. I remember having this conversation with Andrea. As like one of the few black people in this church, I said, girl, you don't need to come in and try to be anything. Just be you. Be the expression of who God created you to be and just be you. And that's my word to all of us today. Whatever culture you've been born into, whatever ethnicity is, God designed it. He intended it. He loves it. He wants you to celebrate it. And he wants us to become one, not one in uniformity, but one in unity of heart and mind and purpose. So here we see that nations is God's idea. And I think this is so important because right now this concept is being railed as racism. Oh, if you believe in nationalism, if you believe in nations, then you are racist. I can believe in nations and not be racist because I can appreciate the beauty of every nation. I can appreciate what every nation brings to the table. I can appreciate the good and I can recognize the bad in my own. Here he says, God created all nations from one man. So you and I are related to each other. We just look a little different. We're one. One. But in different nations. Now, this is what he said. He decided beforehand when the nations would rise and when they would fall. God created the boundaries of nations. He created the time frame of nations. God understands even for America what the time frame is of this nation. God is in control over all nations. And so we have to understand that this is his purpose. Look at verse 27. I want you to look at this. Why did God create nations? Why did God create boundaries? Because this is what his desire was. His purpose, read it with me. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. God created nations with the hope that in that nation, people would seek him and find him. God is in Thailand, even though they haven't found him yet. God desires that we would find our way towards him, even though he's not far. I like how the Message translation says, God does not play hide and seek. God wants to be found, and he created nations to help people find him. Isn't that amazing? I don't know about you, but I can't fully wrap my brain around that. But God created nations with the hope that within that people would find God. Whether it's Madagascar, because we're holed up in a little room in the Philippine airport, whether it's in Thailand or here in Los Angeles, God created nations with one purpose, that people would find him. And I love how it says in verse 28, for in him we live and move and exist. Whether you're Hispanic or Black or Asian or white or Middle Eastern, in Christ we live, in Christ we move, in Christ we exist. We are here because God created us. All nations, all tribes, all people are created in the image of God. For he said, even your own poet said, we are his offspring. So there is this understanding that we are all created by God. They even believe that in Buddhism. They just can't really get it the right way. We are created by God. In God we live. We have life because God gave us life. We have life because God has given us life. Come on, worship team. For in Christ we live and move and exist. Can I tell you this morning, church, in Christ you live. In Christ, you move. In Christ, you have your being. You exist. And look at Josiah. He's sporting America with a big smile on his face. In him, we live and move and have our being. Verse 29, and since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him, for he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. So the time has come for people to know Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again, that we must repent of our sins and turn to God. Verse 32, when they heard Paul speak about the resurrection, some laughed, others said, we want to know more. Can I tell you, when you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, their response is not your responsibility. You got to hear this. Your response, their response to your sharing is not your responsibility. That is God's responsibility. Even Paul, some laughed at him, some just walked away and said, he's crazy. But others were like, I want to hear more. Your responsibility and my responsibility is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to live it out for the gospel of Jesus Christ so people can see God in you. We are a missional church, and a mission trip is not just to Bangkok or Manila or Mexico or Peru. Your mission is when you go to work in the morning. You got to hear me. Your mission is when you go on family vacations. I got one coming up. I'm already praying, Lord, I'm ready, because I have unsafe family members. How do you want me to share the gospel? Show me when. Show me how. Show me when to just shh and not say anything at all. Hello? You have to be ready when the opportunity opens it up. But it should trouble our spirit. It should trouble us that there are still people living in darkness. It should trouble you that there are still people in your workplace that don't know Jesus. It should trouble you that there are people in your family who don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ. It should trouble you that we live in a community that is predominantly Buddhist that don't know Jesus Christ. It should bother you and me. And it should move us to action. What's our first action? Everybody say pray. We got to pray. Second one, live for Christ. Third one, share. Pray, live it out, be ready to share it. And when you do that, you have the opportunity to bring people out of darkness and into the marvelous light. Why don't you stand to your feet? Father, we thank you that you are with us. Even Jesus said, I have called you to go, but be reminded, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That when you command us to go and share the gospel, we don't do it in our own. We do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. We do it by the leading of the Holy Spirit. But I ask right now, God, that you would cause within us to be deeply troubled by the lost in our communities, in our circles of influence, that you would move us to a place where it bothers us that people live in darkness when we enjoy the light. God, that you would work in us deep compassion for the lost in our circles of influence, that we wouldn't just keep the good news to ourselves, but we would be intentional to be ready to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. For in you we live and move and have our being. Come on, I want you to ask God in this moment, stir up my heart for the lost. Stir up my heart for the lost. God, let it bother us that people live in darkness. Let it bother us that they live without knowing your love, the salvation we have through Jesus Christ. But Lord, let us not just stay there. Let us be moved to action. I pray that this week, Holy Spirit, you would show us the opportunities that come up where we can live and speak the good news of Jesus Christ. In our homes, in our workplaces, our classrooms, wherever you call us to be. Even online, Lord, that you would use us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We say yes to your call to go and preach the gospel to all nations. We say yes. Here we are, use us. Will you offer yourself to the Lord this week? Say, God, I want to be available. That when you present an opportunity to share the gospel, I want to be ready and available. And you can trust him to put his words in your mouth. Jesus said, when you have an opportunity, do not worry what to say, for the Holy Spirit will put words in your mouth. You just need to be available. So we make ourselves available, Holy Spirit, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to live the gospel message, to pray for the lost. Here we are, God. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.